You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
We're in the book of 1 Peter, talking about the rescue. If you've got your Bible, I want you to turn to 1 Peter. We just kicked off just recently, so you're jumping in at a good time to hang with us the whole time. So Siena, Cyprus, downtown, Espanol, the Loop, we are kicking off. And these verses that we have are absolutely amazing. It's talking about the rescue, that we need to be rescued. We need God to come from heaven through Jesus Christ and to rescue us in a great and mighty way. Now, if you might remember this, but if you were to go back many years ago, you can remember back in 1987, there was a little girl, and her name was Jessica, and the whole nation began to call her Baby Jessica is what we began to call her. Midland, Texas, she went out in the backyard. And when she went out in the backyard, there was a pipe. There was a well that would go down. It's about 8 inches. And she went as a little baby and accidentally fell down that well and dropped 22 feet. The entire nation began to look on as for 58 hours, they were trying to dig a hole next to that well to be able to then come over to get Baby Jessica. Ronald Reagan said that America became the godparents of Baby Jessica in those hours. It was on CNN continuously, and that was a new thing in those days, to have a continual news source that you'd stay glued to the TV on one issue and look at this one thing that is happening. So it captured the heart of America, and thankfully they rescued her. This is the picture of her being rescued. She came out, this little baby, and they rescued her, and this was actually the Pulitzer Prize-winning picture that won the Pulitzer Prize that year of the rescue of Baby Jessica. You and I need to be rescued as well. We've fallen down a hole of sin. We've fallen down a hole of our own ways of thinking. There's a rescue that needs to happen in our culture. We've got problems all throughout our culture, all throughout our city, our nation, and our world, and we need God to rescue us. And for God to do something great in that, we're gonna see the greatest rescue that could ever be known in just a few moments of salvation. And we're gonna understand and look through of what happens for heaven to rescue earth in the sense of one by one, a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now in this time period that Peter is writing, it's a crucial time period. We could look at the time period we're in and we could say there's a lot of hurts. Peter in this time period, if you were to look from 60 AD to 70 AD, you would find there's a lot of problems. This book is written in about 63, 64 AD. In those years, in that decade, Rome is set on fire by Nero, but Nero blames the Christians. Persecution comes against the Christian church because they're the scapegoats for this fire. Peter writes this wonderful passage we'll read in just a second, but he'll be martyred with Paul, according to the Bishop of Corinth, Dionysus, that he will be martyred on the same day as Paul. Paul and Peter will lose their life on the same day. The Christian community had to be shaking in their boots. Peter, Paul, both killed in Rome on the same day. Jerusalem will be taken over in 70 AD by the Roman army. This is a bad, difficult decade, and Peter's gonna write these words to give us hope in the hurts. The whole theme of 1 Peter is hope in the hurts. I want you to say that phrase with me. You ready? One, two, three. Hope in the hurts. One more time. Hope in the hurts. Do you know that there's hope in the hurts? Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 5, and we're going to see the rescue of all rescues. Grab your listening guide as well that was in your weekly guide so you can take notes. This is key. This is amazing stuff that we have here. Verse 3, he says this. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so glad that there's an and it's not praise be the Godfather, you know, of our Lord Jesus Christ. We got the mafia happening here. Praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that is imperishable, uncorrupted and unfading, kept in heaven for you. You are being protected by God's power through faith, not works, through faith, for a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Here we have this verse 3, the very beginning, as we get into this passage of Scripture. Praise to God, to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy. Praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to praise him and to say, Lord, even in the hurts, even in the difficult times, I'm going to praise you. I found such great strength in my life that when I fail, I still praise God for the failure, that in the failure, I can learn something that can make me more like him. See, our praise of God affects our path of life. Our praise of God affects our path of life. And to praise him when it's amazing and great is awesome, and we should. But to also praise him in the hurts, to praise him in the trials, to praise him in your failures, I learn more from my failures than I do from my successes. And in those moments when I praise him, in those moments of praise, it comes from a deeper place in my soul. It's really easy to praise when everything's going great. It's hard when things are not going so well. A small view of Jesus brings small praise to God. Our view of Jesus determines our praise to God. So we've got to have a big view of him, that he's bigger than the river rising, that he's bigger than our failures. He's bigger than the things that we do wrong or say wrong. He's bigger than our actions. He is God. He is great. He is mighty. And his son is Jesus, and Jesus is God as well. So my view of God is huge, is what Peter's saying. Praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is grand and he is huge. And my praise of God affects my path of life. It's hard to sin and praise at the same time. It's hard to be self-sufficient and praise-giving at the same time. My praise of God affects my path of life. So the more I praise, the greater and straighter my path of life is going to be to God, and the more I'm going to get to know him. Just recently, the Houston Texans played the New Orleans Saints. And because of the flood in Louisiana, the chaplain wasn't able to make it over. The Saints chaplain wasn't able to make it over. And so he called me and said, hey, Greg, would you do the Saints chapel for me? I can't make it over. And I said, okay, that'd be great. What an honor. That'd be awesome. I think my grandmother never missed a Saints game on TV in like her entire life. So this would be awesome. This will please her. She's in heaven now, but it'd be pleasing her. So I said, yes, that I would do that. Well, football chapels, just so you know, are not the easiest thing to do. There's no music beforehand. They walk in very quietly. They're humongous. If they don't like the message, they could kill you, you know, and just put you in a duffel bag and ship you off. I mean, it could happen. So you just kind of walk in. They're all in their warm-up. So they walk in, they get in the room. Happens on every football team. None of them talk. They just all sit in the room. They're used to a coach standing up and yelling at them, and then they leave, so there's no response. If you say, what do you think? They don't say anything, because coaches never say, what do you think about that play, right? They just do it. So you just got to stand up there. Somebody introduces you. You stand up there. You got 20 minutes, and you don't have 21 minutes. You got 20 minutes, and you've got to do it and get this thing done. So I pull up, and I'm a little bit early, and because I didn't want to be late, obviously. So I get there to the hotel is where they do these things. I always kind of pictured it being the locker room, and I'd give them the last word, and then they'd run out and go, yeah! No, it's like, the day before or hours before, because they don't want the chaplain messing up the game is what the coaches are thinking. So it's at the hotel. So I show up to the hotel, and it's just like I told you. They're in warm-ups. They're very nice. Every one of them comes up and talks to you, and every one of them comes up and thanks you. It's kind of like talking to the military is what it's really like. They're all under orders. So they come and they sit down. And before I get there, I'm just nervous in my heart. I'm just like, man, I'm nervous. So I've been listening to this song all summer long. I mean, literally for months, I've been listening to this song called Ever Be. It's your praise will be ever be upon my lips. Your praise will ever be upon my lips. And I got in my car leaving to go to the chapel, and that song was on KSBJ. I was like, oh, Lord, that's awesome. I pull up to the hotel, and I lean my seat back in the parking garage of the hotel, and I put it on my radio there in the car, and I listen to it again. And then I begin walking across the little crosswalk to get to the hotel from the parking garage. And I'm walking across and I'm just singing, your praise will ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips. And I got to finally like the bridge of the song. And this is what it said. I'm just singing it just under my breath, not real loud. It's not weird. I'm just singing as I go in, just trying to kind of soothe my own heart. And it says this, you will be praised. You will be praised. Now listen to this. With angels and saints. We sing, worthy are you, Lord. You will be praised, you will be praised with angels and saints. We sing, worthy are you, Lord. And in that crosswalk, peace fell over me. I mean, literally supernatural peace. And God said, you've been singing about this chapel all summer long. Because I've been singing that song all summer long. Angels and saints. You didn't know till Thursday, but your praise was getting you ready all the way. So we begin by looking at this passage, seeing that our praise prepares us for the path of life. And our praise gives us praise to say, God, here's what the great things we're praising you about. He's going to give us four things that are so praiseworthy. And if you're a believer in Christ, this is the four things of the rescue that you praise from. If you're not a believer in Christ yet, if you're not 100% sure that you know Jesus is your Savior in your heart, I want to explain to you what I wish somebody would have explained to me earlier in my life. I didn't trust Christ till I was 16 years old. I wish I would have heard this sermon earlier. I am going to tell you exactly how to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Peter's going to tell you, actually, from the Bible. This isn't the Protestant Bible. This isn't the Catholic Bible. This is the Holy Bible. And this is the declaration that we give praise for. But we also, it gives us a very clear path of how we come to know God and have a relationship with him through Jesus Christ. So let's look at four things of the 4 points of the rescue. The first one is in verse 3. Four rescues God has given us in Jesus. The first one's new birth. See if you can see it in verse 3. Praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our path is set by our praise according to his great mercy. Doesn't have anything to do with you or me. Great mercy. He has given us, it's a gift. He has given us a new birth into a living hope. Okay, how does this living hope happen? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Resurrection, living hope, new birth, and dead, all in the same thing. Do you see the irony of all those words being put together? So the first thing that we have is this, is a new birth. There's a new birth. That's how our life with God begins. It's a new birth. Now, growing up, I remember asking somebody that I trusted. I was thinking about these things of Christianity. I said, do you know much about Christianity? They said, yeah, there's two kinds of Christians. There's born-again Christians, and then there's Christians like us. And I said, okay. The born-again Christians are really excited about it, and the Christians like us, we kind of care about it, but we don't really go to church much. And I think that's what people think about. But let me just tell you, biblically, there's only one kind of Christian. And the only kind of Christian is one that has been born again. And that's not my works, and that's not Baptist words, that's not Protestant words, that's not Catholic words. That is straight out of John chapter 3. A man named Nicodemus comes at night. He's got all the knowledge of religion, but he doesn't have a relationship. And he comes at night and he talks to Jesus and he says, how does a man come to be saved? And Jesus says, you've got to be born again. He says, well, I've been born of water of my mom, but I have to be born of the spirit of heaven. Now, this is great news. This enables us to have the tremendous thing that we want in life. Everybody wants this. We get a do-over, if you will. You get to be born again. Does that mean you go back to being a baby? No, it does not mean. Nicodemus says, does that mean a grown man is able to be birthed again by his mom? No, that does not what that means. It means that spiritually we are dead because of sin. We're dead because of sin. Not we're just kind of maimed a little bit because we're dead. And through Jesus Christ, by placing our faith in him, his death, that's what the verse said, right? And his resurrection by trusting him in faith. In that faith of placing faith in Jesus Christ. Now his spirit comes to live in me. He has paid for my sins. His death is my death. And now I'm born again spiritually. I get the greatest do-over I could ever want in this. All the bad sin that I've done has been paid for on the cross. And I'm born again. A new birth. So don't hear that as, well, there's two types of Christians. There's the born-again type of Christians, and they're kind of weird and excited, and this is probably a church filled with them. And we probably are weird, and we probably are excited. But it's not, you know, all, it's a blessing is what I'm trying to say. You can look odd because of what God's done in your life. I got to just recently lead a man, a grown man, to Jesus Christ in salvation. We prayed together. This grown man, big guy, crying as he's praying to receive Jesus Christ, to pray and to put his faith in Jesus Christ. And right after we prayed and he said, amen, this is what he said. He said, I feel like I just took a shower. It doesn't matter what you feel, really. That's not what I'm trying to say. But I'm saying that there's a newness that's there. Another commentator put it like this. Salvation in Christ, he said, when I trusted Jesus with my salvation, I felt like I swallowed sunshine. There's a new birth that happens. And there's joy in new birth. There's greatness in new birth. We announce new births. We love children being born. It's an amazing thing. So I just kind of did a little research and tried to find some birth announcements to illustrate this celebration that we have. So let me show you a couple birth announcements that I found along the way. The first one here is the birth announcement that there's a new baby coming. So the other baby is going to be evicted from the crib there at that moment. The next one we can go along. She's sick because they're pregnant, and now he's sick because he's found out it's twins. That's a good one there. This one, let's roll back to the 80s, see if you can figure this one out. Ice baby. You got to understand 80s rap at that point. Ask your kids. Next one that we've got here, the big brothers saying, don't mess with her. I like that announcement. Then the last one here, only child expiring April 2015. We love new birth, don't we? We celebrate it. We tell people about it. We declare it. And it says in the scriptures that the angels rejoice in heaven over one that comes to know Jesus Christ. So I ask you this. Have you been born again in Jesus Christ? Have you had a new birth in him that you've placed your sin on his cross? And his cross is paid for your sin, and you've trusted in his resurrection to be your new birth. That's what it means. It's faith in Jesus Christ unto salvation to trust him. And if you haven't trusted in that, oh, I want to encourage you to trust him in that. Talk to one of us at any campus about that. It's an amazing, amazing thought, an amazing principle, amazing truth that we have. See, what's happened in our history, our Christian history, you had back in the 1600s, 1700s, what was called the Enlightenment. And basically what it did in religion is man no longer had to be saved. He just had to be enlightened. And that's why we have so much self-help in our Christian thought at this time. That's one of the reasons. You have to be saved. You have to be rescued by Jesus Christ. It's not being a Christian adjective. It's being a Christian noun. And Christian adjective is I need to do more and be more for God and do more right than I do wrong. That's adjective. Being a Christian noun is I need to be a child of God. And the only way I become a child of God is by placing my faith in Jesus Christ and allowing him to wash me clean of my sin. New birth is the first of four rescues. Let's keep rolling. Let's look at verse 4. Verse 4, it says, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, excuse me, uncorruptible, uncorrupted, unfading, and kept in heaven for you. So verse 4 talks about our inheritance. An inheritance you receive because of who you are, not because of what you do. An inheritance is who you are, not what you do. You don't earn it, you're born into it. So we're born again in new birth, and now we receive an inheritance from Jesus Christ. Now, I made a mistake on your listening guide. What it says there on our next point of death-proof, sin-proof, and eternal on the very bottom of your listening guide, that should actually be with the inheritance, not with the final point. So just draw an arrow pointing up with that. Because it says that this inheritance is imperishable, which is death-proof. It'll never perish. It's uncorrupted, meaning it's sin-proof, and it's unfading, meaning that it's eternal. So what you inherit from God in salvation of Jesus Christ, your death will not end it. It will actually, your death will be the beginning of the seeing of it. of your inheritance. Your sin, it is incorruptible. It cannot be corrupted by your sin. So you can't lose your salvation once you've been born again in Jesus Christ. Your inheritance is secure. And then number three, it's eternal in nature because it is kept in heaven for you, and it's unfading in that. So you have an inheritance if you've been born again and trust Jesus as your Savior. You inherit, because you're his child, the riches of heaven in salvation. That's awesome. That brings us back to the beginning of let's praise the Lord for that, and let's say thank you, God, for that. It's an inheritance that is there. I'm actually giving you point three, aren't I? I just realized that instead of point two. We'll go back to point two now. So now you got point three. Let's go back to point two, though, where it says that we have a living hope, a living hope. There's a living hope in the hurts. There's a living hope in the hurts. It says that we have a living hope. Remember the phrase that we started out with? There's hope in the hurts. Say it again with me. There's hope in the hurts. Not only is there hope, there's a living hope. How do you have a living hope from a crucified man? Because of the resurrection. See, the resurrection is what gives you the living hope. If Jesus just died on a cross, that's not a big deal because two other men on that day died on a cross. The fact that he rose again from the grave gives us the living hope. So we're born again knowing that we will rise again into heaven because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And there's a living hope. We are in desperate need of a hope. And we're looking for different places to find that hope, be it the political realms to look for it there, be it the financial realms to look for it there, be it to be a sunny day and everybody's healthy to look for it there. We can look for it in all different places. But I tell you that you can have a living hope even if your political party is not in power and even if you journey to MD Anderson once a week for treatment. There can still be a living hope because of a relationship with Jesus Christ and inheritance, as we saw a moment ago, that you have something in you that gives you a living hope in the hurts. There's a living hope in the hurts. Dark clouds will pass. God is bigger than your mistakes, and there is a higher purpose. Then we get to the inheritance that I talked about just a moment. We've covered that. Now let's jump down to verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. Here's what this verse says as it talks about how is this protected. You are being protected by God's power through, watch, circle it, faith. Faith, that's a very key word. Not by actions, not by words, not by what you do. God's power through faith for a salvation, not an enlightenment, a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last times. Last time. You are protected by God's power. What sin is stronger than God's power? What sin is stronger than the blood of Christ? What attitude or action can snatch you from his hand? So let's put it all together. Praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, through his great mercy, has given us a living hope through Jesus Christ, that we're born again, a new birth through Jesus Christ unto a living hope that has an inheritance with it that is then protected by his power. You are protected, verse 5, through God's power through faith for a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time, meaning that you're going to be shown that salvation in the last time. You can be assured of your salvation. Can I just give you a few verses? I put them in your listening guide underneath that of eternal protection. These are verses of assurance of salvation. Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39, for I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels or demons nor rulers or powers nor things present nor things to come nor hostile powers nor height nor depth nor any other created being will be able to separate me from the love that is in Christ Jesus. It's an amazing assurance verse. Chapter 5 of John, verse 24, Jesus says, I assure you, anyone who hears my word and believes in me, in him and who he has sent me, God and who has sent me, Jesus, has eternal life and will not come under judgment, but is passed, watch, from death to life. How did that happen? By being born again. Then you get to John chapter 6, verse 37. Everyone the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will never cast out. The best one, 1 John, I mean, if you could say the best Bible verse, but one I like the best. 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 through 13. And this is the testimony. God has given us inheritance, eternal life. And this life is in his Son, born again, an inheritance and a living hope. This, the one who has the Son has life. The one who does not have the Son of God does not have life. And here it is. I've written these things to you, that you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Do you see these four things that he's given us in these verses? These four things are our rescue. Psalm 50, verse 15 says, call on to me in the day of trouble, and I will rescue you, and you will honor me. Walking it out. There's a new birth into a living hope, into an inheritance because of who we are, not because of what we've done. And it's protected in heaven for you and me. It cannot be lost. That, my friend, is the rescue of all rescues. Have you trusted Jesus as your Savior? Not, well, I need to go to church more. I need to get better. That's being enlightened. I'm talking about coming alive in salvation of Jesus Christ. And when you do that, you know what happens? You have a reservation in heaven that can never be taken. A reservation in heaven that can never be taken. And you have resurrection here on earth that can never be taken of life in Jesus Christ. And it'll get you through anything you do. If you're nervous about a football chapel, his peace can give it to you as you're praying praise to him, because I know I've been born again, and I know I have a living hope, and I know I have an inheritance in heaven and even now with Jesus Christ, and I know it can never be taken away from me. That is Christianity in a nutshell. That's what it is. It's not about picketing this or for this or against that. All those things, whatever, those can come out and be true. It's about a person that knows Jesus, and your reservation is secure. There's a restaurant that my wife and I like to eat at. It's kind of the special events restaurant or the special occasions restaurant. You know, there's the I don't want to cook restaurants. You know what those are? We got those restaurants, and we got some of those we like too. We didn't have time to cook, and those usually have a microphone that you speak into, right? That's the I don't want to cook restaurants. And then there's the special occasion restaurants, the anniversary restaurant, the birthday restaurant, the let's celebrate something great restaurant, the let's store up gift certificates to go to that restaurant type of restaurant. Well, we've got a restaurant that's that kind of our place that's there, and we were there one time celebrating something, and the hostess said, I've been coming to your church. And to just shorten the story for you, basically at the end of the time, she began asking me questions in the exit of the restaurant, and I almost led her to Christ standing in the restaurant. I said, I know this is odd. I know you're at work, but if you would want to put your faith in Jesus Christ right here, right now, I will pray with you right here at this door of going out the entrance door of the restaurant. I'll pray with you right here. And she said, you know, I don't feel totally comfortable with that. I said, well, how about this? You come to church this Sunday, see what God does in your life. And if you want to pray and receive Christ as Savior after church, then we'll do that and we'll have a great time. That'd be perfect. You just come down front. So right here at the Loop campus, right here to my left, she came down front and I led her to Christ right here in our church. It's an amazing thing. She trusted Jesus as her Savior. So she has her reservation secure in heaven. What I didn't know is she went back to that restaurant and she typed in, Pastor Greg Mott, anytime he calls, you give him table 75. And when you give him table 75, his wife Kelly, like all wives, she likes flowers, and we want there to be roses in the middle of that table. And not only do we want there to be roses, if they don't order dessert, you bring them dessert. And we didn't know this. For years, we just would show up and kept getting the same table, and memories kept getting made at the same table. And I was like, what is going, this is, we didn't, the flowers were always, it wasn't flowers on anybody else's table. There's flowers on our table. And these desserts kept coming. See, her reservation was secure, and that was symbolized in how she secured our reservation. When I call that place, I don't go there a lot. It's a special place. But when I go there, my name has been written. And let me tell you, the name in a computer is this much important. Who cares, really? When your name is written, it says in the scriptures, in the Lamb's Book of Life, that changes everything. And Jesus Christ, if you know Christ as Savior, He writes your name in His blood, and it can never be lost. Do you know the blood of Jesus in your life? Or are you like me before I was 16 and you just wanted somebody to tell you how? I'm telling you how. You put your faith in Christ alone, and you're born again into a living hope with a great inheritance that can never be taken away. And Peter's declaring that about a few years before he's going to lose his life. If you don't know him, come to know him today. Every place that you're hearing my voice, this is what it means to be saved. This is of eternal importance. If you're not sure about it, please ask us. Please ask us. This is your eternity I'm talking about. And if you do know him, then praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us anytime you're near. We're located at the corner of I-10 West and the 610 Loop. Visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.